part three of the Buzz Bubble interview with George Lois. On the Buzz Bubble.
I went to Doyle Dane and I really, I was talking about Bob Gage and Phyllis Roberts, and they did an incredible thing, and they had a set reputation of being the only creative agency, the creative agency in the world. I worked at Doyle Dane for a year, and I just kind of plowed through the place. Birnbach loved my work. It was edgy. It was edgier than most of the work. A lot of the writers were very shook up about with a lot of art directors too. Very shook up about what I was doing. You know,
that's good.
Very shook up. I was there a month, and there was a posse of them. It was an art director, four women writers, who went up to Birnbach to say, look at this, what this George Lois is doing, look at this work, you know. And it was stuff that Birnbach loved, you know. In fact, Birnbach said to them, patted him on the head and said, George Lois is a cross between Bob Gage and Paul Rand, which is a great compliment to me. I'll see you. Thank you. So I was there for a year, and I wasn't looking to leave. Man, I wasn't looking to leave. I loved that place. I loved everything about it. Because if you were an art director there, if you were a talented art director there, and there were Bob Gage, Bill Taubman, Helmut Krohn, and me, we were the four best art directors in the history of advertising. We were sitting right next to each other. You know, I'm telling you, it was murderous row. Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, each guy was turning out incredible stuff, you know. But that was it in the field, as far as I'm concerned. Those four rooms.
Right.
You know, I'm serious.
So 1 year at Doyle Dane.
But what happened? I knew
everybody thinks you spent your half of your career.
Oh yeah, everybody thinks I was there I was an old vet of it. You know.
Right.
So what happened is there was a somebody I had met, a writer I had met at Sullivan Hennessy, working with Herb Blue Ballin, a guy named Fred Pappin, and he had started an ad agency. Him and his wife and some other, an art director and his wife, and they went bust after a couple of years, and I had done their letterhead and stuff. And he comes to me at the door there, and he said, George, he said, yeah, what he called, this is a chance. You come into my agency. I already out count. Bullshit. And he showed me a graph. Business are going to go up and up and up and up. You know.
Good graph. Of course. You draw that all by yourself?
Yeah. Wow, what a...
I got to get in on this.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so I said, get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? But I thought about it that night, and I said, you know what? There's got to be a second great creative agency. There's got to be a second.
Right.
It can't last like this, you know? And the idea of a second creative agency, you know, real creative teams, you know, guys like me, was unheard of. I mean, it was like, what? You do what? So I told him, after a couple of days of thinking, I said, okay, let's bring along a writer. Julian Canning and I decided to leave Doyle Dane Birnbach. And this all took a couple of days.
Right.
It's a Christmas party. And we're gonna tell them in a couple of days at the Christmas party. And at the Christmas party, Birnbach gets up and said, what a great year we've had. Blah, 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 blah. It's fantastic. And the most important thing was this agency brought the lights of the talents of a George Lois and a Julian Canning, right? And Canning said, we can't leave now. and I said, Yes, we can. Yeah. So I had to do some persuading with the Kenny, and so I said, we're going to do it. A couple of days after that, okay, I'll meet you at the elevator. We'll go upstairs and talk. Okay. Who's going to talk first? He said, I'll talk. You know, I'm the writer. Okay, you open it up. There we go. We sit down to see Birnbach. We walk into Birnbach's room. He almost had a heart attack because he could see something's going on.
Right.
We didn't have an ad in our hands. And he goes and sits behind his desk. I didn't even know he had a desk in his office. He always. And he said, what can I do for you, George, Julian? And Koenig said, I'm looking at Koenig, and he isn't opening his mouth. And finally, he says, Bill, George, and I are leaving to start an ad agency. You know, Birnbach almost had a heart attack. I mean, first of all, I think he thought we were stealing Volkswagen.
Right.
And I said, and I immediately said, well, we're not taking it, we're not going to, blah, blah, blah. But Birnbach said, and he meant it, what everybody thought, George, there can only be one creative agency in the world. Yeah. He said those words. And he meant it. He's the brilliant man now. And he meant
he's
it.
Convinced.
This is, you can't duplicate what's here. And I said, what you can, the way, what you got here is you run the show. Doyle is an account guy. He doesn't run the show. Dane is a goddamn bean counter. He doesn't run shit. You run the show. You decide everything here. And as long as a creative guy, a great creative man, person can runs the show, you decide what counts to that. You decide what counts to throw out. If there's any compromising on any work, you do the compromise, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's us, And I think I have the talent. You sure have the talent, but George, you're going to be one creative agency. And when everybody in the agency heard that we were leaving, they all were going, cuckoo, cuckoo. I mean, everybody.
Well,
you guys are crazy. I mean, guys like Bob Gage, who were, respected, said, George, you're making a terrible mistake,
Is he the one that told you don't go out there?
No, they all say, they all saying, don't, George, no, you can't. We started Papa K. Lois, and we were successful in a week.
Wow.
I mean, we were getting stories about the things we were doing in a week. We got a story in Time Magazine a week later, a month later on work we did, not on bullshit.
Oh, really?
On work we did. No, we didn't have any accounts. We just got them, boom, 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 one of the first accounts we got was Haloid Xerox.
Oh, jeez.
Changed the name to Xerox.
Right. Nice account.
Us starting that agency, that's what triggered the so-called creative revolution. I mean, Doyle Dane, everybody talks about the advertising creative revolution of the 60s. Doyle Dane was the mother of the creative revolution in the 50s. And we triggered a revolution because then out of our agency in 2-3 years, people left our agency, like Carl Alley started a creative agency. Scotty McCabe Schloss came out to our agency. Wells Rich Green, Dick Green came out. So what happened before in a couple of years by 63 or 64, there were 4 or 5 or 6 creative agencies, and that was a creative revolution, and that changed the advertising world. And that's
everybody
why
built that on the model.
And
of-
that's why those 60s, when you talk about Mad Men, that Mad Men is a show about the same bullshit, terrible hack, WASP, marketing bullshit agencies. Yeah.
Do you watch?
No, I can't watch. I watch a little bit of it. I mean, I gag. Anybody who understands the 60s.
Well, that's why I'm here to talk to
anybody
the man who really lived
the heroics of the 60s. It was a heroic age. Yeah. When I first heard about Mad Men, people were hearing about it, and I was getting calls. Hey, George, they're doing a show about you. What do you mean? He said, well, it's about the advertising agency in the 60s. I was the epitome.
Yeah.
I started my ad agency January the 2nd, 1960.
Okay.
In the Sigma building, classy as hell. It's about you. It's got to be. People say it's about you. Or then you're the consultant. I said, I don't know anything about it, And then I started to hear more about what the show was about. And it was about to premiere, and I get a phone call from one of the producers. Mr. Lois. We're going around town and we're finding out who the real Mad Men were. I think he used the term. And we're doing like little, we're interviewing them, we're doing like little things. I think he was promotional. I didn't quite get what he was going to do. Then for a while I thought he was going to put on a show. And I said, who you got so far? And he named 5 people I never heard of.
Right.
I don't
know that. Who's that?
And then one that I did hear was Bill Birnbach's son, who took over, who became the chairman of the board after Bill died.
Right. Now, these are people for technical directors, or to talk about what really went on and base the show?
So he's saying, we're going to, I don't know. He said, well, everybody we talked to mentions you as important in the 60s. I said, you're doing a show on advertising the 60s, you never heard of me? He said, I've heard of you.
Now I have.
Well, I've heard of you. I said, listen. I'm getting a smell about the show, what your show's about. It sounds like you're doing a gray flannel suit, bullshit movie about a marketing agency, where all these bums getting laid and screwing their secretaries and having 3 martini lunches and doing all kinds of, Well, if you want to know what the 60s was about, when anybody who hears about the 60s in advertising, they immediately, if they know anything, they immediately think of the creative revolution. immediately. And they think of me, and they think of the agencies that follow me, Mary Wells, and they think of that's it.
That's it for part three of The Buzz Bubble with George Lois. Tune in next week for part four on The Buzz Bubble.